So I want to talk about something that was very inspiring for me this past year. Many of us experience many obstacles in our lives that seem to be holding us back from the things that we truly want in life. And it seems that when you're just getting close to the thing you really want, somehow there's something blocks you right in the way and doesn't let it happen. And we can't understand why that is so. So I came across a piece from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov in his Likutei Maran that I found personally to be very uplifting. And usually I figure I'm a normal, average person, so I guess most people can be uplifted from it too. So I'm going to read to you parts of it. It's his 66th teaching. And he's talking about the idea of Cheshek and Kisufim. He's talking about the idea of yearning and longing. And allow me to read for about 10 minutes or so to get the point across. He says it better than I can ever say it. He talks about what's the purpose of roadblocks. What's the purpose of obstructions? He says, Ve'ikar godel ha-cheshek. What is the primary source of where cheshek, where longing and desires come from? And know this word, I'm not going to say it in English anymore. Cheshek. Cheshek is a longing, a desire. Where does cheshek come from? Where is it rooted in? He says it's rooted al yedei hamenia shemazminin lo. It comes from the obstacles that are presented in front of a person that are prepared for him. Ki kesha'ish Yisraeli tzarech lasos dover hatzarech lo liyaduso. When a Jewish person has to do something that's critical, that's essential for his own Yiddishkeit. Bifrat kishetzarech lo lasis dover godel hatzarech liyaduso. Especially when there's something he must do to move ahead in his growth in Judaism. Shekol yaduso tolui bozeh. That the whole foundation of his Yiddishkeit depends on that. So that's something important. When something's really important, let me give some examples that I'm going to skip. So what does God do to make sure that you'll get there the right way? So he says this is what he does. Azai mazminim lo minia. God prepares for you a roadblock. Vizos haminia ki bishvil hacheshek. And the reason why God puts the roadblock in front of you is for the sole purpose for that to raise the level of your cheshek, to raise the level of your longing. Kidei shal yedeze yilo cheshek yoser lasos osa davor. In order to increase the level of cheshek, the level of yearning and desire that you will have for this thing. Ki al yedei hamenia shemonin es adam min hadavar, that through the roadblock, the stumbling block, the obstacle that is put in front of you, al yedeze nase hiskabrus hacheshek ma'od. That will be the primary source to intensify that very critical cheshek. And he gives an example, a simple example we can all understand. You go to a 5-year-old child and you show him something that he would like. Show him a chocolate bar. Do you like this chocolate bar, Moishallah? Yeah. Put it away. Take a few steps away. What's the child? How's it going to react? Okay, no problem. Not my child. He's going to start screaming and yelling and he wants it. Because you showed him something that he wants and you've created an obstacle to not let him have that. And immediately he's chasing after and he wants it so much. And usually what are the things that we really want in life? Are exactly those things that we cannot have. And it comes out that the primary desire that the child has, the child may not even want that chocolate bar till you showed it to him and then said, no, you can't have it. Yeah, can't have it. And all of a sudden, now they really want it more so than they ever wanted it. And he brings a few verses from Mishle and he says that the more that something is withheld and hidden from someone, the more he longs for it. And with this Yesod, he explains a very interesting idea. Where do we get the tava? Where do we get the desire the longing to want to do averus. Why is it so gishmak to do an avera? Why is it such a wonderful thing to speak lashon hara, to watch things we shouldn't watch? Why is that so? You know why? Because God said you can't do it. God put a roadblock. He put an obstruction. It's called, you're not allowed to do it. It's an avera. As once you are now said you can't have it, and it's withheld from you, so that's why you want it. That's precisely why you want it. And therefore, which is in the negative realm, is obviously in the areas of Kedusha. So he says, when there is a minia, something that's holding you back, so that makes the cheshek grow. And to the degree, v'kolmasha dover ha-nechshak gadol biyoter, to the degree that the object of the longing should be great, ha-minia yoser gadola, the obstruction is even greater. And therefore, he explains these three terms. There is the cheshek, the choshek, and the nechshak. The cheshek is the desire, the longing. The choshek is the one who longs, the one who desires. And the nechshak, the object of the desire. And obviously, the person is the choshek, the person is the one who is desiring. The object is the object of this desire. And that cheshek itself is the human being's desire to have that object. And here's his principle. Ukefimalas ha-necheshak, and to the degree that that object of the desire is greater, kein tzorech lios god lacheshek. There has to be a concomitant desire for that. Something that's incredibly powerful and important, the person has to be matched up to what that is. And the person is matched up by the tremendous longing that he has. Something that's very important, you're not going to offer it to someone who doesn't really care that much to have it. He won't make use of that object unless it's a tremendous longing for that object. So God has to balance. To the degree that something is worthy of it, is great in its own merit, there has to be the person who's going to want that, who's going to experience that, has to have a tremendous longing to have that. There has to be a balance. So if that's the case, what do you have to have? If our equation, the equation is saying the greater something is, the greater our longing has to be for it. So what has to happen? What must happen so that we are totally at an equilibrium with the object and the level we're supposed to be at, says Rabbi Nachman, that's where the minia comes. That's where the roadblock comes. That's where the obstruction comes. The obstruction is there to heighten the longing, which will now be equal to the object of one's longing because of how great it is. And therefore, says Rabbi Nachman, "Valkein roi lo adam ladas." A person has to know. Kishiyesh lo menios gedolos meod me'ezer davar shebikdusha. When you confront all kinds of obstacles in your life as you're trying to achieve objects or areas of holiness, you should know clearly that the thing that you want to do, hu nechshak gadol ma'od v'davar yakar ma'od, you should know that this is a tremendously precious thing and something deserving of so much desire. Shemach mazeh ha-meniya gadol ma'od. That's why the obstruction is so great. And that's what he says. He says all those obstructions in our life are only for the purpose of strengthening our cheshek, making it greater and greater. And when the person has enough cheshek, enough desire, then he's able to accomplish. Part of accomplishment, a lot of times we say we want to do things. We want to do spiritual things. But if the cheshek isn't there, then shortly after you make the attempt, you give up. Something that can come easy is something you'll give up very easily on. And therefore, because there's these obstructions, and there are these obstacles that are pushing you back, and it just increases the level of you wanting to get it. So then finally, when you have the opportunity to get it, and the obstruction, is, you have the power to push the obstruction right out of the way and achieve that goal that you are trying to reach. That's what Rabbi Nachman says. With this, we can understand now that anything that comes easy to any of us in life, you better question it a million times. Any project you want to start that has no miniot, that has no obstructions, it's questionable if it should be part of your life at all. Because dafke in that area of emptiness that the blocks are creating, your cheshek, your desire is supposed to fill that emptiness to yearn and crave for that which is being held back from you. And when you fill it up with a tremendous amount of cheshek, you're able to accomplish incredible things. It's a very important yesod. Very important yesod. Because so many times, when we involve ourselves in Klei Kodesh, we involve ourselves in holy activities, and it never comes easy. You want to fundraise to build a shul. Since when does that happen, that the first person you meet gives you a check for $5 million? Mr. Goldwasser, ever happened? Never happens. Why? Because what we're doing is so special. And the cheshek has to be heightened to appreciate that which we're about to do. And therefore it's harder and harder and harder. And instead what Rabbi Nachman is freeing us from not allowing the obstacles to depress us. And when you try once and twice and three times, keep trying and it's not going, and it's even becoming harder and harder, and places where you least likely expected obstacles to come, noch an obstacle, you should smile and say, Baruch Hashem, you know, this is the biggest proof that this is the greatest thing I'm trying to get involved in. And you tell the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's a nice try, but you're tipping me off to know how important what's going on over here. And instead of letting the obstacle beat you, and say, I don't think I can do it. You're going to say, no, that's something I know is going to be really important. I want it more and more. And the cheshek builds and builds and builds until you're able to destroy the obstacles. And when you're at that level, you're worthy for that very special thing that is the nechshak, is the object of your desires. That's Ad Kan, the words of Rabbi Nachman. There's one more piece. If we have time, we'll get to it. His premier student, Rabbi Nosson, takes it a little bit deeper. And this is where it gets, so far I think I have everybody. This is where we could lose people. So we're on the topic of losing people. It seems to be the theme of today. So Rabbi Nachman is talking about, his topic is the Birchas HaReach, talking about the sense of smell. And he explains that our deepest sense is our sense of smell, something that even the neshama can gratify itself with. It's the greatest delight of the physical world that touches the neshama itself, because that was the only area that Adam HaRishon did not sin in the chet of the Eitz Hadas. Rabbi Nachman goes a little further and he asks the question, so let's try to figure out, where do obstacles usually come from? We're talking about obstacles, there's all kinds of obstacles. People can be obstacles, weather can be obstacles, money can be obstacles, your spouse can be an obstacle, friends can be an obstacle, but what's the greatest obstacle? Not exactly. Sort of. You think yourself. He says like this. It comes from a confusion and a distortion of thinking. Rinosin says like this. If a person could see with his eyes the greatness of a mitzvah. For example, tzedakah. If we could have the spiritual eyes to know that when I'm giving tzedakah, what's really happening? What kind of spiritual worlds are set off? What kind of growth I go through? If we really could see with our eyes the great benefits of giving tzedakah, certainly we would all give generously. And how do we know this? Because we see that people in this world are prepared to go to great lengths, to unbelievable trouble, spend a lot of time and energy, because perhaps in a business deal, perhaps they'll end up profiting despite all the risks that may be involved. If it's to make a buck, a person will even mortgage his house to keep the business going. And maybe, we'll be able to make some money. So obviously people can put a lot of effort for things that they want. People can travel half across the globe and put years of work on a project that perhaps they might reap a certain reward. So says Rabbi Nosson, Alachas Kamla Kamala Morso. A mitzvah which is not a suffix, it's not a doubt that if I do the mitzvah or even try to do the mitzvah, there is no doubt that it's guaranteed from God a return. And still people spend less on mitzvahs. We don't make the efforts in doing mitzvahs, many of us. The same effort we do in our business. We don't go through the troubles for these kinds of things. We got to realize that the word minia, miniot, obstacles, you rearrange the letters, it spells the word ni'imut, which is pleasure and pleasantry. You want to give tzedakah, oh, so many obstacles. I'm not making enough money this year. I can't. I would like to, but there's an obstacle here. They'll invest the same amount of money for their business, but for tzedakah, not. But you got to realize those obstacles are really not miniyut, but ni'imut. It's really the source of your pleasure. If a person could see with his eyes the sweetness of the mitzvah of tzedakah, the Be'er Mayim Chaim explains that if Hashem would open up the Shemayim and show us what a mitzvah really is worth, the Jews would trample over each other, fighting and pushing in line to give the next tzedakah dollar, to do the next mitzvah. Lahavdil, as we see, the Jews are very exceptional at going to the buffets and going to the sales and to the shows where we can push in line, and that we have no problems with that. But when it's an appeal to give tzedakah, you know, but if it was shown down for Shemayim, what you really got, we'd push people out of the way, says the Be'er Mayim Chaim. So Rabbi Nosson says the greatest minia, the greatest obstacle that we face is that we don't see the value of Torah and mitzvahs. Right? If in your mind you think that the possibility of making your business work out is more precious than the mitzvah of tefillin or talis or davening, if you think that being to work on time is more important than davening in a minyan, then obviously you're suffering from this tremendous miniyah, this tremendous block that's holding you back from doing the special mitzvah, because you don't appreciate how great that mitzvah is. If we would have that appreciation of the value of what a mitzvah is, the cheshek would be unbelievable as we seek and pursue that mitzvah. And therefore, Rabbi Nosson says that this is the greatest miniyah. The ikar miniyah is that our minds are confused. And despite all the great things that the rabbis tell us in the Talmud, of great reward of giving tzedakah, your zocha for this, and keeping Shabbos, your zocha for that, ki lukim is kol mitzvahs cool, it's like you did all the mitzvahs, and all the wonderful things, and ayin lo ras, and oh, I have seen all the great pleasures, unbelievable promises. But since we don't see the value with our own eyes, that's the greatest obstacle that stands in our way. That's what Rabbi Nosson says. So now if you're thinking, you're going to start putting two together, you're going to have a problem. And Rabbi Nosson takes us to the next step, which is the next question. If the greatest obstruction doesn't allow us to see the value of a mitzvah, and therefore we don't have a cheshek to do the mitzvah. Oh, but what did Rabbi Nachman say earlier? The nature of the miniyah, or as Rabbi Nosson is explaining, the nature of the minyan is to conceal the value of the holiness and to tell us it's not important. And it obstructs the ni'imut, the pleasantry of the mitzvah. So the question now is, how in the world will we ever have a cheshek? Where am I going to get a cheshek from? Where am I going to get a longing from? If, for example, I want to do a mitzvah and someone's holding me back from doing a mitzvah, I want to do the mitzvah. I want to do something good and someone's physically restraining me, but I know I want to do it. Okay, I want it more. But if the greatest cheshek is you don't appreciate it, so that in and of itself should disarm any potential cheshek. If that miniyah, if that obstruction is that which conceals the beauty of what the mitzvah is, so how could that intensify the cheshek? Where is it going to come from? It would seem that all potential cheshek would cease altogether. That's what Rabbi Nosson asks. So the answer is a little bit tricky. You got to help cup a little bit. Rabbi Nosson explains where the cheshek comes from. I'll read a few lines. He says, Hashem yisbor barach meir merachok. Hashem does us a favor and He illuminates from a distance. Midas kol adam sheitz notzeitz loho emes merachok. Hashem allows a person to get a vision that flickers, a fiery flicker of truth, from a distance. The truth flickers from a distant place, even though you may right now be far from the truth. Bechinas, as he gives a verse from the Torah, Merachol Hashem nirali, Hashem appeared to me from a distance. And this attribute is the hints that come to people every day. This illumination, this flickering, it materializes in the subtle hints that we have every day in our lives. She's karei v'yoshev elov. That Hashem is calling you from a distance and drawing you near to Him. We get a hint from a distance, which isn't clear totally to the person, but there's enough of a flash that for the moment, you see the truth for a moment, the cheshek comes, the drive comes, and that drive is able to overcome the obstacle of the moment. And Rabbi Nachman says that most people in their lives ignore those hints. And when that hint comes from far away, you don't see it with your eyes. Because if you'd see it so clearly with your eyes, it would remove all bechira. It would remove all free will choice, as the Bar Mayim explained. If we totally understood with crystal clear clarity the value of mitzvahs, we totally would have no free will choice. We'd do it for sure. But since it's from a distance, Rabbi Nachman calls it a reyach tov. A nice smell. A pleasant fragrance. Meaning you can't see it mamish with your eyes. So the maniyah is still there. The obstacle is still there, but you smell something good is cooking from a distance. Because we know the most powerful sense is the sense of smell. You can walk into a room and what's the quote people say? I smell trouble. You don't see anything, but you smell. There's something that's not going on over here. Smelling you don't see with your eyes. It's a much deeper thing. Seeing, you have to kind of be up close. But smell, you can smell from a distance. And there's many psukim, I don't have time, in Shir HaShirim, Shalom Melech, just give one pasuk. He says, L'reach shmanecha tovim, like the smell of goodly oils. Shemen turak shimcha is the spreading fame of Hashem. Al kein alamus ha'evuch. And therefore nations have loved you. In other words, non-Jews of the world can smell out the good smell of Torah and God. And that's why nations have loved you. Alamus really means young maidens. And Rashi explains, who are these young maidens who came from afar to become Jews because of this good smell? Chazal say it's Yisro and Rachav, the two greatest converts in Jewish history. We see from over here that there are those who don't necessarily see holiness with their eyes, but like Rachav and Yisro, they're able to smell it from a distance, that wonderful scented oil. And those are the Ramazim Merachov, those are the hints from far away. And whoever smells that and is truly looking for the truth will begin to pursue it with an increased cheshek. That's where the potential convert feels that now he feels he's being withheld. That's where the potential Baal Tshuva feels that he's being withheld. The cheshek becomes inflamed by sniffing out the truth from that good smell from a distance. And then Shlomo Melech in the next verse says, Mishcheni acharecha narutza, draw me and I will run after you. That good smell is drawing me after you. That's the trick in Yiddishkeit. We live in a society, we live in a generation where the beauty and value of mitzvahs is almost non-existent. Everybody else having a good time doing everything else. Everything else has values. But Hashem gives you little signs here and there. And when you see a little sign, the truth comes out. And that's the moment that the cheshek should be grabbing onto. And then you have to fight that stumbling block. Yeah, but nobody else thinks it's important. Everybody else doesn't think it's an important cause. Why are you so hung up on this cause? Because I smell the truth. I can smell it. I know the emes. If you knew it so clear, there'd be no free will choice. But it's just enough HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. The most important things in life, we're held back. Why? Because we don't see the value. This is the Chet HaMeraglim. This is the sin of the spies that happened on Tisha B'Av. Chazal say, what was the sin of the spies? They were pogam b'kedushas Eretz Yisrael. They belittled. They distorted the great holiness of Eretz Yisrael. And what does that mean? Rabbi Nachman explains that the ikarutz and the greatest desire that a Jew can have for Hashem depends on his living in Eretz Yisrael. No Jew can desire Hashem the way he can if he lives chutz l'aretz. Eretz Yisrael is the place of Cheshek. It's the place of longing. As the Pasuk says, Ratzis Hashem Artzecha. Hashem, you want your land. And it would be a little bit incorrect to call that place Israel as opposed to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the word Eretz, from the word Ratzeh, Ratzon, means I have a Ratzon. Eretz Yisrael, Rotzeh Ani Lios Yisrael. That's what it really means. I want to be a Jew. Rotzeh, I want, I long. I want to be a Jew so deeply in the place where I express that can most beautifully be expressed in Eretz Yisrael. And if I had more time, I'd bring verses from the brachos that Moshe gave to the Shvatim that all talk about Eretz Yisrael as being the place of Ratzon, of desire. I don't have time. But the whole Eretz Yisrael is a piece of Hishtoikikus. Is a place of longing and desire to be a Jew, more so than anywhere else. And why is that? Because that's what the land is called. It's called the Eretz Chemda, as we say in the benching, the land of our desire. Eretz Hamoriah, for Mount Moriah. And what's Moriah stand for? Hamor, the spice of the Kedores. Yerushalayim was the place where heaven and earth met, but you couldn't see it with your eyes. It was the one place in the physical world where heaven and earth merged. And nowhere was there a fragrance so beautiful and so powerful than from the Mor, on Har HaMoriah, in Eretz HaMoriah, in the Eretz Chemda, where the whole land is named after the fragrance it typifies. The beauty of Eretz Yisrael is something you cannot and will never see. It's something that can only smell it. And that's why when the Jewish people had to enter Eretz Yisrael, what was the first city that they had to conquer it through? Yericho, which is from the same expression of Reach, where the fragrance, many Chazal tell us, the fragrance of Yerushalayim miraculously transported itself to Yericho. And therefore, the more desirable of an object, as Rabbi Nachman says, the greater is the obstacle. And oh, are there so many obstacles to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim, we were miles, few miles away from entering Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem says, you're going to be there. You think I'm going to let you have it easy? Oh, no. This is too great a place for you to just get this, like you're taking a trip to Miami. Want a trip to Miami? No problem. You book the tickets. You're there. Do you ever wonder? I mean, I think El Al has a little bit of Ruach HaKodesh. To make it so hard to go to Eretz Yisrael. I just want to go to Chicha, like, for security reasons, okay, I'm sure they got good reasons, but a lot of us feel, you get a little Yetzer and says, I didn't want to bother Eretz Yisrael, it's such a hassle. Baruch Hashem, what do you think? It's going to be easy? You want to take Sabina? You want to take another one? Or whoever to get there? No, you take the plane, that's a harder one to get there. The Cheshek is much greater. And until today, for a Jew to go to Eretz Yisrael, there are so many blocks. And that was the mistake of the spies then, and that's the mistake that most Jews are making today. The spies concluded that the obstacles were so powerful, more powerful than the Cheshek. And their mistake was, instead of intensifying that Cheshek, they stopped smelling and they lost their Cheshek. They saw the Miniyah, they saw the obstacle that was placed in their path, and they felt it was greater than their desires that they could have to reach the place. And although they praised the land, and they said, that's a pretty good smell. But at the end they said, even though it's a good place, there's too many obstacles. And we can't get there. Has the story changed? Similarly, we understand Yiddishkeit, it's a good thing. But there's so many obstacles. I can't get to the mitzvahs. I really would like to daven in shul, but now I got to be at work at 8:30 downtown. How can I daven shachris? How can I be in a minyan? How can I learn? I got all these things, all these obstacles in my life. That's the problem we have. So since Eretz Yisrael is such an object of desire, there has to be so many roadblocks. But there's a purpose to it, Rabbi Nachman. It's to intensify our desire. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi had obstacles. So what did he do with those obstacles? He created Tzion Halot Tishali. That's what came out of the obstacles. Contriving new ways to appreciate what Eretz Yisrael is. So that one day he would make it to Eretz Yisrael. That's what Yidden would do. That's why there's the obstacles are there. And Baruch Hashem, only, at least, if we're able to have some kind of longing for Eretz Yisrael today, and for the Mashiach that will come, it's only because there was a Yeshua and a Kalev, who we know represent the Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, to which by the Mashiach it says, Ve'recha yiras Hashem, the one who fears Hashem, he'll be able to judge by just smelling. Kalev and Yeshua had a great sense of smell. But behind that sense of smell, they understood, as the spies didn't understand, that they understood, of course, everything you're saying, it's an obstacle. You're right. Talk more. Let's hear more, more obstacles. Lay it out. Let's hear the obstacles. They think the whole thing it turns out is that, Haraya, that's the proof that we got to go there. Pretty easy. What do we need to go there for? Then it's interesting. They look at the shock of attire. They don't seem to give an argument back. The spies say, clear, we can't go. So they don't out-argue them. No, we really could, because this and that. They just say one thing. Mask him. We agree. Therefore, alone I live, Yerushalayim also. So now for sure we can go. Because it must be so important. We might have thought, maybe or not. You have to go to Yerushalayim. Not going to tell you how important. It's got to be important. There are giants who don't want to let you in. We'll overcome those obstacles because we understand why they're there. They're only there to increase the cheshek. Eretz Yisrael. So hard. So hard. Why do you think the Arabs are making life so miserable? Just for the cheshek. Just for the pleasure. All the important things in life. Doing tshuva. Oh, it's so hard to do tshuva. Why? Because it's so great. Marriage. All the obstacles of marriage. All the obstacles of a man getting along with a woman and vice versa. The obstacles with the in-laws and the outlaws and all these things. Why are there so many obstacles for every marriage? Almost no marriage goes by smoothly. Why? Because it's so important. Because a person without a spouse is like a half a neshama. That's almost the most important thing a person has to do in his life. And you think it's going to come easy? You think Mashiach's going to come easy? If it was that important, would it come so easy? Rabbi Nachman says one last thing. You tell me when I should stop. Rabbi Nachman says one last thing. He says, a lot of people can give an excuse and say, I've tried to, I wanted to, but the obstacle was too great. We have a principle of the Talmud, Anis Rachmana Patre. If there's something beyond your control, I'm potter. That's halacha. So you might convince yourself and say, I really wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. I really wanted to get married. I really wanted to get up in the morning for davening. But what can I do? It's against my control. And we have a chazal to support that, you would think. But he says, that's only good for someone who wants to be yoytzei. That's only good for somebody who wants to get God off their back. Yeah, you don't want to burn in hell for not going to Eretz Yisrael. Good, I'm a teretz. I couldn't make a living. If it is a teretz or not, we can debate it. But let's assume it is a teretz. I could have done, but I work and it's that, You want to be yoytzei. So, God won't go after you. You won't burn in hell for it. You won't go to Gehenna. But Lamaisa, did you do it? Lamaisa, at the end of the day, did you do it? There's an onus. But that only helps for the guy who's happy that he has God off his back. Let me read a couple lines. But Raksha who wrote the HaMitzvah Ba'atzmo. But what if the guy really wants what the treasure is? Okay, you're not going to blame me, Hashem. But I want it. What are you going to say? You wanted to kiss your wife, but you couldn't, so it's like you kissed her. You want to kiss her. It's like, what do you mean it's like? It's good machshavas, so your wife won't be upset with you, or whatever, But you wanted to give her a hug. You wanted to hug your child. You want to hug your child. No, I wanted to, but I couldn't, so, I'm off the hook. My kid won't be upset. But she didn't hug him. What kind of answer is that? You don't have it. The chepetz you don't have. So what does it help that you wanted it? Ma shemekalin lo shenechshav kilo. It's a kula. It's a leniency. But that doesn't make you happy. It doesn't satisfy you. Because you should be longing and desiring and wanting that so much. So he says, you don't want to be satisfied with a just like, as if you did it. Because it's fit for a Jewish person It's befitting for a Jew to make it happen. And not to just say, potentially, theoretically, I wanted to do it. A Jew has the power to make it happen. Vazayin, therefore, kishachoshek ma'od be'emes, when you really want it, and you don't satisfy with yourself as if you did it, then certainly he will finish this and bring it from the potential to being realized. V'yishaber v'yivatel kol ha'minios v'anasim. He will break and destroy every obstacle. Because remember, those obstacles were only there as to increase the cheshek. That was the whole purpose. U'kishyesho ha'cheshek ha'roi lo'os ha'miniyah. And once the cheshek has been raised high enough, according to the beautiful level of the object of the cheshek, azay memayla nispatel ha'ones v'aminiyah. Poof. The miniyah is gone. The miniyah is there only for one purpose. To make you want it more. Finished. Once you want it, bust the mini out! It has no strength anymore. The Arabs are there, the intifada is there, making trouble. There's only one reason. One reason. To make us want it more. We want the Temple Mount. We want it more. Why do you think the police won't let us go there today? Why? So we'll want it more. And when every Yid wants it more, then we en masse say, we want it. That's it. We're going to go for it. And then somehow, mysteriously, that big obstacle, poof, it's gone. Why? Because it has no more purpose. The purpose is up. And that's why Yid is always able to accomplish much more than anybody thinks they can accomplish. Rabbi Yaakov Emden talks about, in his day, Yid not wanting to go to Eretz Yisrael. There's a whole long shmooze I want to say, we don't have time. But there's one line he said that is fantastic for all us very frum people. Well, he talks about the whole idea, you know, when you're facing east to Eretz Yisrael, it's not just we're facing your Shalayim, but really it's a statement that that's where I want to be. Next time you face east by Mariv, think of what your feet are saying. Your feet are saying, east, that's where I belong. Why else do you have to turn that way? Why turn to your Shalayim? What does it matter? Yaakov explains in the instruction of the Siddur. He says, because that says, that's where I belong. That's where I have to be. And as long as I can't be here, the next best thing I can do is have my feet there. But truly, I should be there. And that's what my feet are saying. And he goes to the diatribes like many have gone about the Jews who don't do this. And then he says a great line. Indeed, there is a difficult question to be asked about the holy people of Israel. In many areas, they are scrupulous in performing mitzvahs, spending large sums of money to observe them. Glatt kosher costs more. Kol Yisrael costs more. Building an Erev in a city costs a lot of money. Shmur matzah, hand shmur matzah, all 8 days of Pesach. Unbelievable. Have to be machmer. Separate seating at weddings. Even if the dancing circle, you still have to sit separate. Have to be machmer. Machmer and everything. And a lot of these things aren't really mitzvahs. They're hidurim, they're minhagim. So he asks a question. So why aren't you machmer about going to Eretz Yisrael? It costs a little bit more money. So Chov Yisrael costs more money too. Everything costs more money if I want to be more machmer. So what causes this laziness? Why do they belittle this precious mitzvah, the peg upon the entire Torah hinges? In other words, he's saying, just like Rabbi Nachman in this point, he's saying, you want to be yoytze with a heter. You want to be yoytze with a ke'ilu. You want to be yoytze. Well, you know, it's hard to go there. It's just wrong. I won't get the same profession like I had over here, so it's going to be hard. That it's supposed to be hard. So you'll want it more. Don't you appreciate you have to rise up to the level of kedusha, to the object of your desire? But you want to be yoytze with a heter. Every area of kedusha, every area, every obstacle in our life, not just Eretz Yisrael, every obstacle is there for only one purpose, to give you the strength to overcome that obstacle. I'm going to end with a story. A story with the holy Rishner. Rishner Rebbe, in his later days, he told stories to his Talmidim. Yisrael of Rishin, he would go into the Beis Medrash, all of a sudden start telling a story, they stopped, they listened to the story. It's towards the end of his life. And the stories usually had deep meanings. So he tells a story of a local yokel from a village who never, it was a small village, there was never a minyan. So he hears that there's an inyan to go to a minyan. So he figures it's Rosh Hashanah. Why should he not once in his life go to a shul on Rosh Hashanah to have a minyan for Rosh Hashanah? So the guy figures he's going to go this Rosh Hashanah. So he comes, he makes the trek, he schleps out, he gets in late, just before he's so tired from the trip, he goes to bed. Next morning he gets up, and he walks into shul. It's a little bit late, and he sits down. He's really not exactly sure what you're supposed to do. And all of a sudden he sees everybody crying. Everybody's crying. You know, they probably came to Avinu Malkeinu or Nesana Tokev, who knows it. They're all crying. He doesn't know what's going on. So he goes over to somebody, pardon me. Shh, quiet. They're all crying. So like, what happened? Maybe it's going to be a tragedy. Maybe somebody died. That's what's going on. So he thinks, yeah, I know. You know, it's already like 11 o'clock, you know. I think they're hungry. I'm kind of feeling a little hungry too. So he starts crying. Oh, he's hungry. Okay. Finish Avinu Malkeinu, whatever. There they go. Then all of a sudden, 15, 20 minutes later, they're singing, they're clapping, they're dancing. They're getting to a high party. He doesn't know what's going on. Everybody's hungry. So then they're clapping, they're happy, they're in an exalted state. So he goes, earth, and maybe, no, it's a really religious place here. They don't talk to each other. So he starts thinking. He says, why would they be happy? So he remembers that as he walked to shul, he was smelling the kugels that the women had put out already on the blech, you know, and it was smelled pretty good. So he says, I know why they're happy now, because even though they're hungry, they know soon it's going to be the end, and they are looking forward to the kugels that they're going to have. So that's why they're really happy. Oh, so I'm going to start singing too, because I'm going to get some kugel too, and he starts clapping. But then a few minutes later, they start crying again. And now the guy's totally lost. Everybody's crying. And now this yokel doesn't know what's going on. First they're hungry, then they're waiting for the kugels. So the Rishner says, this is what the guy figured at the end. And when the Rishner said this, he started to cry. The Rishner says, you know why they're crying now? Because it's taking so long for the davening to end. And maybe the food won't be there when the davening's over. They can't take it anymore. Says the Rishner, this is Tisha B'Av. This is what it's all about. We cry during the year, we get stumbling blocks. We're happy when it seems we can overcome a stumbling block. But at the end of the day, we're crying. You know why? Because Rabbeinu Shalom, we can't take it anymore. The whole story of Klal Yisrael, the whole story of each and every Jew, the chachma for each and every one of us is to still be able to smell the reach tov, the beautiful fragrance of being a yid, the beautiful fragrance of Yiddishkeit, the beautiful fragrance of Eretz Yisrael, to have that cheshek and not to lose that cheshek. And as Rav Kook said in his Oireis, he says, even if a yid is outside of Eretz Yisrael, you still have to tell yourself always that you have a longing to be in Eretz Yisrael. Because to the extent that you connect to Eretz Yisrael, even if it's only in your imagination, then your ratzon, your desire to be a Jew, increases in so many ways if it's only to dream. We should all be zocha to welcome all those challenges. Welcome every obstacle that comes in your life and say, Hashem, thank you for that tip-off. That what I want and what I wanted, I'm right, I'm correct, it is important. And to energize and have much more ratzon to the point that the day will come when the collective ratzon of Klal Yisrael will be so powerful, the miniyot, those blocks, will evaporate right before us because there'll be no need and only the nimut. The wonderful pleasure of that smell and realization will come to us B'mheirav Yomeinu. Amen.